Hey, welcome to another episode of the Journey Online podcast. This is edition 2048, season six. No, I'm just making this up as I'm going. But we were glad you're listening. Sitting in with me today is our creative arts pastor, Chris Denning. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing quite well.
Awesome. And our pastor of all things Audible, Daniel Schaefer. How you doing, Dan?
Terrific.
You'll... this is going to be a fun one today.
He loves being called Dan, by the way.
You know, I know, that's why.
Actually, more specifically, if everyone listening can call him
just
Danny.
Just Dan. Hey, Danny.
Danny with an I, though.
And tag a boy on there if you want to. Hey, Danny boy.
Danny boy.
You know, Danny boy actually isn't that bad.
No?
Danny by itself is the worst.
Okay, all right.
Well, not the worst, but we're not going to repeat the worst.
Noted.
So.
Well, we're kind of like kids that our dad, like, went on a business trip and didn't hire a sitter and left us alone
for
like the first time.
So we took all the air mattresses that we had in the house
yeah.
and blew them up and stacked them in the living
room.
Yeah,
so that's what this podcast is like. So it's going to be a fun day.
That's a true story, by the way.
Yeah, so Matt is off doing some church planning work over at Cypress in Roanoke, Virginia, and he's letting us kind of just steer the ship on our own, which hopefully is a wise decision. We will see how it all turns
out. We'll see. It's only one or two icebergs out there.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
That was a Titanic reference, everyone.
There you go.
I'm cool.
By the way, you might hear some noise happening.
This is why we need video.
That noise was a water bottle slam. But the other noise, we're having some construction done outside
yeah,
the room
we
where
are.
We're hanging out. And so if you hear strange noises, it's not Daniel's stomach.
Yeah, it's not Danny boy.
Or my...
let's not make that a thing.
You know, it could be. It's just stuff. So excuse that if you hear it.
Well, thanks for putting up with us so far. We are just rambling. But we do have a point to today's podcast. We are, as a church, going through a brand new series called Sinking Sand or
Solid Rock. Ground.
Solid Rock.
Sand.
I've already got it backwards.
I'll have
it figured out by week three.
Sand.
Week three, I will finally figure out the title. But it is Solid Rock, Sinking Sand. You are correct, and I am wrong, as usual. But that's okay.
He's still got that baby brain. He's still
that's
got
right,
that
man.
My baby's less than a month old brain.
Yeah, yeah. Like just operating on a little sleep. It's fun. It's exciting. But so Solid Rock, Sinking Sand. And we kind of kicked that off this past Sunday with our friend from Atlanta, David McNeely. And he did a great job kind of kicking us off.
Brother from another church mother.
No, come on. I like it. We'll make
weird.
That a thing. That's a
yeah,
thing
that's,
now. That's a thing.
Trademark.
He will be introduced like that.
We're trademarking
at
just
some
in case.
Point when I'm doing announcements. It's going to be good. Good stuff.
Sorry, David. My bad.
So he kicked us off kind of just, and the thing I like about this series so far, just even after week one and even as we were planning it and talking about it, is it's very foundational on what you believe and how that shapes who we are and how we interact with each other in the church and more importantly, how we interact with the culture around us. But it's something that a lot of times we don't spend time talking about or even hearing about in churches because you think people have it, that you know, like, oh, they already got that. You know, they've got that figured out.
Yeah, so basically every week we're taking a seemingly not simple, but foundational piece of the Christian faith, and we're looking at it through the lens of solid rock or sinking sand, mm-hmm. and which are you choosing to believe or which are you choosing to live out? Like this first week was faith, and Dave asked a question, are you having childlike faith or are you having childish faith? So for the rest of the series, we're looking at things like love and righteousness, and there's one more. I can't remember off the top of my head, but basically we're taking a look at the two sides of each one of those doctrinal kind of foundational pieces to our faith.
Yeah, so week one was great. And one of the things that David said in his message Sunday that kind of stuck with me, I threw it out there on Twitter, and it was kind of a takeaway for me. He had this quote, he said, "The size of faith is irrelevant, but the object of faith is everything." So I just want to get you guys, as we kind of lean into just basically the big picture of faith and why that's a starting point for this series and for us as a church as we're going through this series. What is that quote, like when you hear that, does it stir any emotions in you or make you think anything? Or I just want to hear your thoughts about that specific quote that he threw out there.
I mean, I like it. I would change it a little bit just to make it a little better in context.
And you're an editor. You're an editor at heart.
I am. My mom was an English major. Just language is everything.
So change it. How would you change it?
I would probably change it to the size of faith is irrelevant when, or the size of faith can is irrelevant.
Man, we are on
Hold
the fly.
On.
Oh,
hey,
here
hey,
we go. Wait.
On the fly. This is very on the fly. The size of faith is irrelevant when the object of faith is wrong. Or something similar, or when you
something
put,
like that.
Yeah, when you put the what your faith is in the wrong thing. Doesn't okay. matter how much faith you have in something if it's not the right thing.
Okay.
Because I mean, Jesus does talk about having great faith, great and you know, yeah, if you have right. a certain amount of faith, you're able to do this.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to move mountains if you had the faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, in the context of it, doesn't matter if you have a lot of faith if your faith isn't in Christ.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah,
and it makes a lot of sense. Just
yeah, so,
a little
but it's a context.
It's a context
that matters.
That,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really good observation. I think that's essentially where Dave was trying to go, to where his point was that the object of your faith is more important than the size, just like Daniel was saying. And I really appreciated his take on childlike faith versus childish faith, because the whole. Mm-hmm. The whole nutshell about that was childlike faith was basically having faith in God. And that's where your faith is rooted. That's a solid rock. Whereas a childish faith is having faith in yourself. And that's a sinking sand to where you feel like, sure, you might be good at something. And sure, you might have talents and gifts and abilities to see you through a season or even see you through a moment or, you know, who knows, something like that. But ultimately, you're not able to sustain yourself through everything because we're not God, you know, ultimately that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And he talks too about, sometimes even putting our faith in other people or other things and that having a great correlation and, you know, cause for me, it comes back to, I grew up with people who I thought seemingly had this great abounding faith, but then as David said, only a storm in life's going to reveal, you know, whether you're on the solid rock or you're sinking sand. And when those storms of life came, I've seen many of people that I thought, you know, from the outside perspective, looked like they, you know, had a rock solid faith. But then when that storm of life came, it just tore them apart and just withered. So I grew up seeing some of those folks and it always kind of just blew my mind a little bit of, man, I thought they had it figured out. Yeah. And for me, it left me thinking, well, man, if they've got it figured out and that did that to them, what's up for me, you know, because I just felt like I was so insignificant and didn't have that kind of faith. You guys ever experienced anything like that?
Not personally. Really. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to this idea of, how do I phrase it? It kind of goes back to the size piece of, I know what I'm trying to say. It's not about us. It's not about how big our faith is. Like that is never what saves us. What saves us is what we place our faith in. Mm. And we place our faith in a God who not only is the maker of all things, but saw us exactly for who we were and who we are without him, which is, you know, really terrible beings, you know, who know nothing but doing wrong and being capable of great evil, but still chose to love us and still chose to save us. And so even that illustration, like the big tank of sand that we had with the houses and stuff, of when you pull the tape off, which is basically the storm hitting you, it looks like these people have this great faith because their houses are chilling in this big old area. But as you see over time, it just kind of goes away. And the one who doesn't have their faith focused or put into or placed on the thing that doesn't move the rock is just it just falls away, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not about how much like we can do and how much we can believe and how much we can whatever. It's about what we've put our faith in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, because I've kind of seen the other side of it, which has made me question how much if I have that kind of faith. The point, you know, like friends of my parents who. Had their kid, you know, commit suicide, but, you know, like them walk through it and me go, I don't know how I would be able, I don't know if I'd be able to deal, like, do I have enough faith to do that? And, you know, it's like what Chris says, you know, it's like, it's until you get to those points, you don't really know.
Yeah.
Or like, you can know, you know, like my faith is in Christ, but know, am I really rooted there? Like we were talking about a couple of podcasts ago with Matt with, you know, like, are your roots where they need to be?
Yeah, that's good. So. Yeah. And what's up? We just have a few questions kind of walking through this. We'll just kind of talk about it and see where it goes as we continue to delve into the topic of faith and where it's rooted and you know, how we get to that point of being on the solid rock rather than the sinking sand. So when we talk about faith and this, why is this thought and this foundational piece, why do you think it's so needed? I guess it's kind of a two-part question. Why do you think it's needed in our churches collectively, Big C Church and Journey Church as well, specifically, and also needed in culture? Why do we need a shift of helping people understand what it means to be rooted on the solid rock rather than rooted in the sinking sand, which is anything and other things? Chris, tell us a little bit about it.
Dude, it's because everything is so me-focused, you know? Mm. I mean, like, dude, okay, so I was up with my baby, both my girl and my child,
yes,
this morning, and we were watching the Today Show. And they had a story on, right? So the whole Ashley Madison thing happened recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks. I mean, it sucks for them. They got hacked. And, I mean, if you don't know, Ashley Madison's a website that connects people who are looking to cheat or have an affair. Yeah. And they endorse it. They're, like, really stoked about it, which, whether you're a Christian or not, I mean, like, that sucks, right?
Yep.
Anywho, so they got hacked, and this group let out all their information.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there have been two suicides connected with it, which is a pretty horrible thing. So please don't hear me saying that those people deserved it or anything like that. What I'm saying is all the language that's being thrown around is all those poor victims, those poor people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sucks that happened to them, but, like, you kind of asked for it.
Yeah.
Like, you put yourself in a vulnerable position by going on the internet and looking for a place to, you know, engage in this kind of thing that, you know, if it came to be public knowledge, would ruin your life. You know what I mean? And so, like, it's so me focused about, like, oh, well, those poor victims. And again, please don't hear me saying anything about those people who, you know, took their own lives. But I'm more specifically talking about the people who willingly chose to seek out an opportunity to cheat on their spouse.
Yeah.
And they're the victims in all this. So for me, it's like we're so focused on ourselves that, like that's specifically with this faith issue. It's like that's the epitome of putting faith in yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I believe I should and can be able to do anything I want because I am a person. And that's kind of what's preached to us nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
In culture, because this is kind of where we're at, you know?
Yeah. That's. It's good.
Yeah. And I mean, just adding on to that, like, it's needed in the church and culture because in America, like, stuff like that exists. Mm-hmm. You have just a myriad of things that you can go, oh, I can put my faith in this or this.
Like,
oh, if this doesn't work out, then I'll just move over to this and I'll be fine. But, you know, at some point you run into where you don't have any backup plan and you will hit rock bottom, like, when the list gets revealed and you go, well, where am I now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to have the solid rock in order to, you know, stay firm or, you know, just even have a way to move forward.
Well, and it's interesting you brought that specific thing up because, you know, I was actually reading the Duggar guy. He's got enough trouble on his own with everything. But he was also involved in this deal, you know, which came to light in that leak. But there was also another Christian blogger who apparently had a thing on there, but he had actually been dealing with it with his wife, and that it was old news for them. But because of the leak, it's now brought to light, and I'm sure it will have an effect on, you know, his message, you know, he's trying to present. And people are going to be wondering always. And so faith is just one of those things, and I love that you said that we're in such a me-centered culture, which is so true, and it definitely flies in the face of, I mean, you read the Gospels, and you read about Jesus. He was the complete opposite of that, and everything he said, his message, you know, literally was die to yourself, come unto me, and gain life, which sounds completely backwards, and it definitely flies in the face of everything we hear about today, in culture, when everybody's like, hey, you go get it for you, get all you can, get it now, you know, live for you. And that's the messages that are just broadcast constantly.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, even if that feels like really like that whole idea of like dying to yourself and stuff, that, if that feels foreign to you as a Christian, it's stated even more simply in John, where it says, there's a couple variations on it, but he must increase and I must decrease, or he must become more, talking about Jesus, and I need to become less. I mean, it's such a simple idea that we don't really see mirrored in the values of culture, you know, in our culture. In our culture, it's everyone needs to become less and I need to become more. And it could be even a good thing of like, my family needs to become more, or my job needs to become more. And those are both inherently not bad things, but when we put our faith in those rather than in Jesus, like, we're asking for a storm to come and to wreck ourselves.
Right, and it doesn't just wreck you, but I mean, you, if your faith and your identity is in something outside of the rock, then, like, when these storms come, you lose all credibility. Like, but, you know, it's like Paul in the Bible, you know, he was the worst, but then when, you know, he started to follow Christ, his identity was no longer in his former life.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to just go, yeah, that was me. I was that. I was the worst. I was worse than all of you. But I'm now for Christ, and this is who I'm in. Like, yeah, I can say that I do this or this or this, but I'm just going to use it to point you to Christ. My identity is no longer found in how I screwed up, but rather in where I'm looking towards.
Yeah. And so if there was ever a time to go back to this foundational piece, I was trying to look back in the Twitter feed to see how David worded it. He said, in his message, he said, we have to constantly ask ourselves this single question: is my faith grounded on the rock? And that's really what it comes back to. Am I putting my faith in anything other than the rock, which we know is Christ Jesus, and the sacrifice that he gave us on the cross? So we have to constantly ask that question.
So Daniel mentioned something earlier to where there's definitely a thing in our, let's just say America. There's this thing in America where, oh, I'm going to put my faith in this, and if that don't work, I'm going to jump to this. And okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's definitely a thing. That's really bad, and that sucks. However, it also works to our advantage as Christians in that Jesus never turns his back on us. And so if... I could see where someone could be sitting in here on this past Sunday, seeing that illustration where the house is getting like wrecked and being like, great, well, my life's over. Yeah. And I know personally I've been in a place where it's felt like that. But in the same breath, like, we have the ability to ask ourselves that question, is my faith placed in the rock?
Yeah.
You know, what Dave was just saying. And if you say no, you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
To change that answer.
That's good.
Yeah. Because it's your choice, you know? Like, that's the beautiful thing about faith is, like, God doesn't force us to do that. He could. I mean, he's God. He made everything. Yeah. He can do what he wants. But he gives us the ability to choose to put our faith in him. And even if we're slip-sliding down that slippery slope towards the side of that plastic bin and going to get Lego wrecked in our Lego house,
well,
we still have the ability to say, you know what? I see what's going on here, and I'm going to choose to put my faith in the rock. That's not going to move.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of our values is grace. I mean, and that's really what grace is. It's in those moments where we've screwed it up so bad. You know, grace, you know, the way we put it in our values is we firmly believe that there's nothing we can do right now to make God love us anymore, and there's nothing we could ever have done to make him love us less. And I love that about journey and grace in general, that's really what grace is. It's the knowledge that we probably will screw it up and mess things up royally and see ourselves slipping down that sandy, slippery slope. And but we're never too far to make that choice and ask that question. And if we're not, if our answer is no right now, I'm not rooted on the solid rock, there are ways to get back there and get rooted there so that it has an effect on our lives. So going with that, what are some things right now in culture that, or even in churches even, that people put their, maybe they put their faith and their hope in this, thinking that it's rock solid, but it ends up being kind of sinking sand?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one is money. Like, especially in kind of an affluent area like the Lake Norman area. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's...
We got money in Lake Norman? What?
Well, not maybe not us specifically.
No, I saw like a Batman Range Rover the other day. Yep. That's, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
We got money.
I'm dropping Hamilton's. People think I'm, was it Aaron Burr?
Where are they dropping? Oh, I'll go pick them up. I'll go get them.
No, they're not really. It's okay.
Oh,
no,
that's okay. Sorry. But I mean, you know, so like that's the easy one in cultures, you know, people putting their, you know, faith in, oh, my bank account's fine. Like, mm-hmm. even if like I got laid off or, you know, anything, I have enough. I'm fine. You know, like yeah. I'd be able to ride it out until I got another job. Like, and you know, it's like, I don't really care what people think of me because I got money. Like, it's not really a big deal. But, you know, people put that in money in their family, I think, is a big one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially once you, if you have, you know, the perfect ideal American family and life, you know, it's like, it's really easy to go, I'm where I need to be. I'm secure in this. Nothing's mm-hmm. going to happen.
Yeah. For me, I think sometimes this is going to sound bad, which... Not too bad, because we're actually doing a series coming up about it. I think people just thinking showing up here on Sundays or once a month or twice a month or whatever.
You put your faith in church yeah. instead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the attending part and the listening to sermons and all that you're like, okay, I'm good, you know.
Yeah.
And it never becomes, I guess, a personal thing for you. And when it doesn't become a personal thing, it certainly will never become a public thing in your life. And, you know, the call for us is to have that faith that's rooted in Christ to become both personal, but ultimately, you know, public, so that we are able to point other people to the absolute hope that we've found in our lives. And so yeah, that's one thing that I see that a lot of people put their hope and their faith in and think that they've got that, so it's all good. Yeah. What about you, Chris? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I had in my brain, but, like, I think the tricky ones are the ones where, like, they're not seemingly bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to hate on a guy too much for wanting to be a great dad.
Right.
Or wanting to be a great husband or wanting to be good at his job. Those are all, again, inherently good things.
Yeah.
But it's when you, like... I think faith and identity are tied pretty closely together.
Yeah.
Like, how you see yourself. So I think... The hardest place is to watch out. Or the hardest place to watch yourself and to guard yourself on is those things that are not bad that no one's going to yell at you about, spend your time on, or putting a whole lot of faith into. And when we say like putting your faith in your family, this is talking like I'm talking about like making your family. An unhealthy priority in your life to where, and that sounds really weird, but like to the point of where you're not really helping them, you know, like you can smother your kids, you can smother your spouse, you can smother your kids and neglect your spouse. You can, there's all these things. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of mess that can be there.
Yeah. So you just see a lot of like good things. Not necessarily bad things that sometimes can become a distraction or pull us away from what should be the real priority,
right?
And real focus.
I mean, because you know, when you accept Christ and you believe in Him, He should automatically become, you know, your number one priority.
Yeah,
and it's when and you know, because then it is your identity is found in Him, and when stuff comes, you know, He's there. He's not going to leave you.
Yeah,
but you know, it's when you put your faith in all your time and your energy into other things and leave Christ as the third or fourth option that you really start to see your faith being put into the other things. And you start going, you know, like you're where you put your energy is where you, you know, really put your priorities in your faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing that gets me the most is like, if you started in the first place by like focusing your faith entirely on Jesus, you're going to be a good dad. You're going to be a good husband. You're going to be a good, like, employee. It's going to flow out. Like, there's the whole image that's used pretty often in the Bible of a good fruit bearing, or excuse me, a good tree bearing good fruit.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. And I feel like a lot of times, like, we complain about, like, oh, I don't want to read the, like, I don't feel like reading the Bible, or I don't feel like being in a life group. I don't feel like I don't know. I'm exaggerating, obviously. No, but like,
yeah, you're right.
There's something to the fact that like when we accept his free gift of grace and Jesus comes into our lives and the Holy Spirit changes us. Like it's a physical stinking change in a life, you know? Like the Holy Spirit is a very real person. And when that change happens, I feel like there's even a shift in our emotions and a shift in our priorities to where, you know, reading our Bibles or spending time in prayer or all these things don't become hindrances or don't become or don't continue to be these things you're like, ugh, I got to do whatever. It becomes something you want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And that's not to browbeat on anybody who has a hard time with a quiet time or has a hard time, you know, praying by themselves or whatever. It's more of a like gut check. Honestly, I had a really good conversation with a buddy this weekend about like if you're finding yourself like feeling like, ugh, I gotta make time for this and I'm not able to do this, then maybe you're putting, that's a really good telltale sign of maybe you're putting your faith in something else other than what you need to be focusing on.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you know, as you were talking, this thought kind of came in my head. Sometimes faith is a hard thing because sometimes there's not much happening.
Wait, faith is hard?
But you got to have faith.
Dun, 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 dun.
What?
Daniel doesn't get that right.
Danny boy.
I got nothing.
Fun fact, Daniel doesn't know anything pop culture-wise before the year 1990. Let's just say
you could probably go all the way to 2002.
Oh, wow. My gosh, that's terrible.
So that have fun with that. By the way, that was Faith by George Michael.
That was.
Huh. Who's George Michael?
we'll talk later, Padawan. Don't worry.
but it does, you know, faith sometimes is difficult in that there are those moments of just quietness. And in those moments of quietness, sometimes it's that's where we find out where our faith is rooted sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes in those quiet moments. Sometimes we're not comfortable in that silence, that quiet part, and we feel like we need to begin to work for God. You know?
Dude, you want to talk about a story of faith? Let's talk about Moses and his peoples walking through the freaking desert for 40 years. I mean, yeah, they had the manifestation of God in the cloud floating along with them at times, and that's pretty awesome. They had manifestations of God as in like the manna coming down. And they saw a whole bunch of freaking incredible things, which is, okay, I'd be like, all right, I gotcha. I believe. Yeah. That's cool. I'll walk for 40 years.
Yeah, but 40 years is a long 40 years.
It is a long time.
I mean, that's a generation.
But even in the middle of that, like, where there's, yeah, sure, you could argue there's forward motions and they're going somewhere, but they were in a holding pattern for 40 years, man. You know? And I feel like some people listening right now are in a holding pattern, you know, where you're like, am I supposed to go out for this new job or not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I supposed to... You know, like, what am I supposed to do about school? What am I supposed to do about whatever? And, like, maybe God's just telling you to, like, hold on for a second.
Yeah.
Take a beat and, like, listen. And maybe listening means you just shut up and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you take the time to listen and, you know, really try to understand God's will, normally he reveals it to you in some way or another. I mean, because I was there, you know, a couple of years ago where I just didn't know what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I was kind of at the end of my rope, so to speak. You know, just like, I don't necessarily want to be where I am anymore, but I don't know what to do.
Right.
So, you know, it's like I just took a month or two where I would go sit on the beach and go, God, seriously, what's going on?
Yeah.
Please. And then, you know, I just got a very clear, like, hey, wait a year. I was like, a year's a long time. But, you know, it's like, wait a year. So I did. Met my wife. And then got a job up here.
Boom.
So, you know, it's like sometimes it moves like that.
Shout
obviously.
Out to Brenda.
Amen. But, you know, sometimes it moves that obviously. Sometimes it's a little more subtle. But, you know, it's like sometimes it is just in the quiet, like waiting.
Yeah.
And being okay in the stillness.
But it's so hard, you know, those moments because you feel like something should be happening. And those moments of doubt begin to creep in. And so you raised an interesting point. So people who may be right there, you know, they're like, man, I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to cling to the promise that things are going to be better or this is going to happen. But they're not seeing any movement or seeing anything. What would you tell those people?
All right. This is going to piss some people off.
No, that's what we do, you know.
This is a good one. All right. I like the phrase that you use there of promise. Right? Because God does make some promises. However, Who are those promises for? They're for those who believe. So if you aren't really believing, if you're just going to church and you're hanging on to your daddy's faith or your whatever, those promises aren't for you. Mm. And that may make you pissed off and, okay, sorry. But, like, that's what the word says, you know. And the good thing is that's easily remedied by placing your faith in him. So, yeah. To answer your question, first, you have to, like, I feel like you just got to reaffirm, like, where you're at.
Right.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing to be like, okay, what do I really believe? Do I believe Jesus is who he says he is? Yes. Okay, that's going to color a lot of what I do. So by going through that process, I feel like let's take I was in a situation a couple years ago when I was in a big job change trying to figure out where I was going to go and what we were going to do. And believing God to be who he said he was changed that whole situation for us. Because if I really believed God was who he said he was, then how in the world could I not trust him with this situation?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it is those moments where you just have to sit down and wrestle with, you know, like, your doubts. I mean, sometimes that's why there are those quiet moments. It's just so you have the time and space and margin in your life to go, what do I believe?
Yeah.
Is my faith in Christ? Mm. And let you work it out.
That's good. And you know, I loved when David, when he went through that Hebrews passage, Hebrews 11, just kind of this hall of fame and faith and all that, kind of the one thing he said is, I think he said something like, when we truly diligently seek and trust God in faith, like you were saying, Chris, when we become those kind of people who are diligently seeking him and fully trusting in his plan, not ours.
You mean like real believers?
Yeah. Like you were just saying.
Yeah.
You know, those people that you just made mad who aren't there. he said when we're diligently doing that and diligently trusting, just like in Hebrews 11, God promises that he will walk with us. We don't have it all figured out. You know, the childlike faith doesn't have to have all the answers and it doesn't have to have his way, but yet it still trusts. And it is completely obedient to whatever the call is.
Yeah, and when we say, like, placing our faith, like, in Jesus, it's not just, like, a decision you make. It's a decision you make that requires action. And that action comes... someone talked to me... I don't remember who I was talking to, but someone was, like... basically describing faith as, like, a lens, right?
Yeah.
Your faith is the lens through which you see the world. And so if your faith is in Jesus and you decide that's where you want your faith to be, like you have this gut check, right? You're in this moment, you have this gut check, you're like, yes, my faith is in Jesus. Okay, well then that's how you're going to see this job situation. That's how you're going to see your relationship with him. That's how you're going to see your relationship with your wife. And so the action comes by acting through the lens through which you see the world. So if you see the world through a really bitter lens, of course you're going to be a bitter person, you know, or if you're... you know, just angry or sad, or it could be anything. But if you see the world through the lens of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his promise and everything that he's done for me, then you can't help but change the way you live.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be easy. Because, it is a decision that you have to make every day. Because, I mean... you can be, if you're in a really dark place and you're like, no, I'm going to put my hope in Jesus, your circumstances don't necessarily change overnight. No, yeah. So, I mean, they're still there, and you can still feel like they're coloring it, but it's a decision to act on what Christ asks you to do.
Yeah. Well, guys, so as we're going through this series, Solid Rock Sinking Sand, sorry, I'm getting blown up here.
Bing bong.
That's what happens when you don't mute things. it happens. We're real people, too. So as we're going through this series, why do you think every person at Journey should make it a priority to either be here and hear these foundational talks or to catch them on YouTube or on blog follow-ups as we do them? Why do you think it's such that, I mean, A, we put a priority on it to spend these weeks kind of covering it. Why do they need to make it a priority to be here and to hear these things?
Well, I think you owe it to yourself to, it's kind of like going to the doctor and like getting a checkup. of like, you go to the doctor, get a checkup, not so that like you get a gold star or whatever, so that you know that you're in a good place, so that you know that things are heading in the right direction. And if things aren't heading in the right direction, you can then go work out or take some pills or do what you need to do, right? I feel like when it comes to our faith specifically, and I don't mean just faith as we talked about this past week, but as in like our walk with Jesus,
yeah,
our relationship with Christ. I feel like if we're not taking the time to like take our fingers to the pulse every so often, you can really like get into a nasty place pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I feel like you owe it to yourself to look through the lens of these four foundational topics we're talking about. Like we're talking about love, like, is your love conditional or is it unconditional? Is your righteousness, is it based on what God's done for you? Is it based on what you can do for God? And do you really, really believe that?
Yeah.
And as a result of where you land on that, because you've got to decide for yourself, like Zach's faith isn't going to get you into heaven. Nope. That's not how it works. But where you land on those things has to dictate how you live.
Yeah.
You know? So I think you owe it to yourself to like, put your finger to the pulse. Like, we're heading to the fall. Like, where kids are going back to school.
Yeah.
Moms who were staying at home with kids probably have a little bit more extra time. So you got some time right now in your schedule that you can take an extra hour or two a week, you know, and do that. And guys who are staying at home too or whatever, I'm not going to hate on. That sounded really misogynistic, but it's not. I love my wife. But yeah, you owe it to yourself to take the time to like, really think these thoughts, you know, and really like work through it rather than just assuming it's still good, you know?
Yeah. I love that analogy. It's good.
Yeah, no, that's good. For me, you know, I think of things a lot through like sports analogies. And, you know, right now is the beginning of football season.
Yeah.
And so, you know, training camp's been going for 2 weeks. And, you know, what you always hear at the beginning is coaches drill their players on the very fundamentals of the sport first. Before we get into anything else, we're going to go back and reteach the basics. I mean, these are guys who have been playing football since they were five.
Right.
Like, you know, they know the basics, but it's not bad to go back, review, and get encouragement to push forward in it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we were talking about the series, it's like, what are the four fundamental things that we can think of that are at the basis of our relationship with Christ
right.
and why it's important? And so, you know, it's important to go back and just be encouraged, to be reminded and to go, that's right. That's what I need. You know, it's like you need it every now and again, just as an encouragement or even just as a reminder of, hey, you know what? You're right. I do need to take a step back, think about, okay, where is my faith in?
Yeah.
And, you know, before you even get back to your regular life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of preseason football, can we have a moment of silence for Kelvin Benjamin and Frank Alexander? Just a brief.
Okay, that's brief enough. That was good.
I love you, boys. Y'all get better.
You know, you know what that brief moment of silence was? That was about how long Panthers fans had hope for this season.
Oh, boom.
This is going to get ugly.
Yeah, we're not going to morph this into a sports podcast.
I'm choosing to hold out.
No, but like you guys were both saying, I think kind of the key is, you know, you wouldn't work at a job and not expect to either evaluate your performance, and performance may not be a good word to use when you're talking about faith and following Christ, but you wouldn't take a job and not evaluate or expect your boss or whatever to not evaluate how you're doing. I think that's what this is. This is a period for you, even if things are great right now, you know, things are just going gangbusters, it's still a good opportunity to sit back and say, okay, how am I doing? You know, do I have a childlike faith? Am I asking the right questions every day? Am I loving the way God has called me to love? Am I serving? Those kind of things. So it's just a great time to evaluate. And I think that's so good. Good stuff. And so we're looking forward to the rest of the series. And Daniel's going to kill me because I'm getting ready to do some fun stuff. I'm working this in somehow in this series. So as I'm doing the closing kind of announcements, I'm going to just play a little something behind myself here.
What is that?
This is a song called Two Sets of Joneses.
Wow.
From
Daniel definitely doesn't know that song.
There, he said it. It's Two Sets of Joneses. So we are so excited that you joined us today. And I may have just totally ruined this podcast, but it's great anyway.
No,
we will actually put a link to this, so you can listen to this. It's all about solid rock and sinking sand.
Let me tell you about. See, Zach got mad because I told him we wouldn't do this song on Sunday morning.
I did.
So he's just sticking it now.
I feel like I've heard this before,
but you probably have. But we got a couple things coming up you should be aware of. This Sunday, we got Group Link.
Group Link.
It's a great time if you're looking to get involved in a life group. You can come in and find out what's going on, and hopefully you can leave with a life group.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the bottom, too. If you haven't registered yet and want to register, you can do that.
Yep, register online at thejourneyline.com.
Yep.
Also, on September 2nd, we've got the gathering, the first gathering for the ladies this fall, where they're going to be... talking with Michelle Fadel, who has a incredible story. Love that woman. If you, her and her husband Dan, like those people, good people.
To grow your faith a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't heard their story or met Michelle, you need to go in your woman. Sorry, boys. The gathering is Wednesday, the 2nd at 7 p.m. here at the church, I believe. We've also got partner night coming up. It's going to be a week early this month. It's on the 10th, September 10th, and you can register online and
now
you can pay for dinner online beforehand. Incredible.
To the 21st century.
There we go.
I know we are really doing it. Welcome to 20.
Good. No more last minute ATM runs for those of us who very rarely have cash.
So you can pay for your meal and for your kids' meals there as well. And you can also reserve childcare.
Child
kale. It's like the kale you feed the children. But yeah, that'll be good. So that's on September 10th, Thursday. And we got a couple weeks coming up on this.
Why is the song still
series.
Playing?
Why not?
You know why? Because Josh Kaiser just walked in the room, everybody. Josh, do you have a good word for us to end the podcast? He just said word.
Just word.
Lame.
Word's the word.
Well, there it is.
Hey, we appreciate you guys being with us and taking a little bit of time. Thanks, Matt, for letting us just have a little fun while you were away.
That song's still going. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's about to end right now. So, hey.
We'll play you out. Do we have to pay copyrights for this? I think we
might. I don't know. We didn't play the whole song.
We don't own this song.
We don't play the whole song.
Maybe that helps
us. We didn't play the whole song.
Yeah, disclaimer, we don't own this.
Hey, we'll give them credit in the post. Right. We'll link to Spotify or something.
We need to let these people go.
All right. We love you. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you this week at Journey as we continue Solid Rock, Sinking Sand.